special schus to be back together to learn Torah on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Mir Tashem, a week ago we learned about Rosh Chodesh and his chadshus of Rosh Chodesh. So there's no question that we're hoping that this Rosh Chodesh is going to be tremendous chadshus in the entire world and all of Klal Yisrael. Mir Tashem is going to bring upon a month of simcha and bracha. So good chodesh to everybody. I want to start by thanking our host tonight, the sponsor tonight. Tonight we're being sponsored by a very new seminary called Na'aleh. Na'aleh is a seminary that just has begun in Great Neck. In Mir Tashem, there's big things upcoming there. And hopefully in Mir Tashem, they're going to bring a lot of chizik and soris to the Great Neck community and the entire world. Those of us in the five towns in Queens, we're not so far. So Mir Tashem, get involved. You can check out the poster that we sent out to look for the information in this new seminary that hopefully will just bring more chizik and soris to Nashim Tzidkaniyos. And Mir Tashem, Bekarov Mamish, the seminary Na'aleh that has just begun, will be lifted up to Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh together with the rest of us. So we started Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first day of Nisan, a new month, but in a certain sense a new year. Nisan is really the beginning of the year as well. And there's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah I want to speak about. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Amibayz, Daf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, there discusses as machlokes, when was the world created? When was the world created? When was man created? So some of you are thinking it's Pashut. The world was created Tishrei, or man was created Aleph Tishrei. What is Aleph Tishrei? Rosh Hashanah. In our davening of Rosh Hashanah, we say Hayoyim Haras Olam. Today is the beginning of the world. That's why it's Rosh Hashanah. That's why we're being judged. That's when man was created. Hayoyim haras olam. And that's one opinion in the Gemara. One opinion in the Gemara is that Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the world, and that's when man was created. Aleph Tishrei. But there's another approach. There's another day, there's another opinion. And that is that the beginning of the world is today. That man was created literally today, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's the beginning of creation. The beginning of mankind, today, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We have to understand the Shmachloikas. Was man created? Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Seems to be a Machlokas in Metzias, which means Machlokas in just what occurred, which generally we don't find such arguments. What's going on? So comes the Halakha Kedushas Levi. The Halakha Barditchever, the Kedushas Levi, gives an incredible approach to understanding these two Gemaras, these two opinions within the Gemara. The Kedushas Levi says, Eilu ve'eilu divril kimchaya, meaning they're both true. Both opinions are emes. But they're just looking from a different reference point. The Gemara that says the world was created, Aleph Tishrei, that's when the world was physically created. When man was actually created, Aleph Tishrei was the sixth day of creation when man was created. However, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, He created the world with a purpose. And that purpose needs to be fulfilled. There's a Ratzon Hashem. There's a will of Hashem. There's a purpose of why He created the world. And that purpose was not fulfilled until Aleph Nisan, till Rosh Chodesh Nisan. What happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and we'll get to this a little more in depth later in this year, that's when the Mishkan was started to be used. The Hakamas HaMishkan, we started using the Mishkan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's when ultimate purpose of the world came to fruition. Because that's when the Shechinah Hashem came down to reside amongst us in the Mishkan. In other words, Hashem created the world, Aleph Tishrei. But the whole purpose, which was to connect to Hashem, to have man connected to Hashem, and Hashem connected to this world, it didn't come into fruition until much later on Aleph Nisan. So the Gemara's machlokas is not really machlokas at all. They're coming from different vantage points. One is the actual creation, and one is the fulfillment of that creation. To fulfill the purpose of that creation, which we'll talk more about. But we see from here that our avodah has to be to fulfill the purpose of our lives. The purpose of this world. If merely there's something created, but it doesn't fulfill its purpose, that's meaningless. that goes for naught. There has to be a creation and a fulfillment of the purpose of the creation. And each and every one of us also, we learn from here that we have to fulfill the purpose of Hashem. We have to fulfill our purpose in this world. We have to know our purpose to fulfill our purpose. But we have to do Ratzon Hashem, that Hashem wants His purpose to be fulfilled. What's the purpose of Hashem? Obviously, He's told us in Torah and through the mitzvos. But sometimes we have to leave it to our intuition and our understanding of what purpose of Hashem. Let me give you an example. There are many times in my life I've been asked by teenagers and those that are still learning and growing in their Avodas Hashem, Rebbe, what's wrong with watching TV on Shabbos? What's wrong with watching TV on Shabbos? Obviously, I'm not going to turn it on Shabbos. I have my housekeeper turn it on. I leave it on a timer. I leave it on from before Shabbos. What's wrong with watching TV on Shabbos? I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to do anything. Where does it say? Where in Halacha? Where in the Torah? So obviously, we over here, we all know that none of us should be chas v'shalom, God forbid. None of us would even think of this. But there are those who do. They want to know, where is the halacha? What's wrong with turning on a TV? Not turning on, chas v'shalom, but watching TV on Shabbos. What's wrong with having sports on Shabbos, having organized sports to go outside and have a big basketball game on Shabbos? What's wrong? Where does it say in halacha? Where? Open up a Shulchan Aruch, open up the Torah, show me. Where does it say it? It's not one of the Lamites malachas. I'm not doing any of the malachas. So I'll share with you what I often share with my Talmidim, or those that ask me such a question. I'll say to them, what happens when you have a halachic shaila? What do? You do what you just did. You come to your Rebbe. And you have a Rebbe, and you ask the shaila to that Rebbe. And as a Rebbe, I'll give an answer based on my Torah knowledge. But what happens when I don't know that answer? Sometimes I don't know that answer. I'm not sure. So Baruch Hashem, I have my Rebbeim. I have my Rebbeim that I'll reach out to. Rebbe Amir of Yaakov Neuberger, Rebbe Amir of Pinchas Shlita, Rebbe Pinchas Friedman, another Rebbeim, Rebbe Mendel Blachman. And I'll ask them the Shaila and see what they have to say. And they'll give me the answer, and I'll give my Talmidim that answer. Sometimes I'll go to my Rebbe, and my Rebbe and Baruch Hashem have a lot of humility, are very special people. And they'll say, Aryeh, you know what, I'm not sure. I have to look into it. What will they do? They'll go to their Rebbe. So they'll go to Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita. They'll go to one of the Gedolim, a higher Talmud Chacham who's holding a little bit more. Who's the top of that pole? Who's the top of that pole? Who's the top of the totem pole? So you want to say who? Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita. Gadol Hadar, Rav Schechter in the YU world, Gadol Hadar, who's the top? Say, no, you're wrong. Those are not at the top. You know who's at the top of the totem pole? You know who's at the top? The top of the totem pole, more than anyone else, more than myself or my Rebbeim or their Rebbeim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chodav atzmo, Hashem, the Eibishter. Because who knows better than anyone what's the best way to serve Hashem? Hashem Himself. Hashem Himself, who's the top? Who knows Ratzon Hashem more than anyone else? It's Hashem Himself. So sometimes you don't have to come to your Rebbe or his Rebbe or his Rebbe or even the Gadol Hadar. Sometimes you can go straight to Hashem. And you stop and you think on your own. What is Ratzon Hashem? What does Hashem want? And let's be honest, let's be real, everybody. Let's be real. If you stop and you think for a moment, why did Hashem create Shabbos? Why did He give us this holy day, this Kaddish Digah day, to be close to Him, to distance ourselves and disconnect from the outside world, to know nothing what's going on in the media, and to know nothing about our jobs, to be with our family, be with Hashem. And if you stopped and you thought about Shabbos, and you thought, what's Ratzon Hashem? Does Hashem want me to be watching TV on Shabbos? Does Hashem want me being on my phone on Shabbos? Does Hashem want me to leave on the sporting event so I can watch it? The answer is clearly no chance. We know that's not Ratzon Hashem. So how could you do it? Finish. It's not Ratzon Hashem. Our avodah in this world, to be in this world, is to do Ratzon Hashem. The answer is very clear. The avod is to do Ratzon Hashem, and that's the ultimate fulfillment of the purpose of the world. And that's why perhaps that opinion in the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah says that the world was created, Aleph Nisan, because that's when the fulfillment of the purpose came into fruition. And we as well have to make sure and be looking into our lives. Are we fulfilling our purpose? Are we living up to our purpose? Have we even been created yet? Physically, I'm here. Physically, I'm in this world. But have I fulfilled my purpose? Am I doing anything in this world? Something we have to ask ourselves daily, constantly. To Chesh ben HaNefesh, we have to ask ourselves. And I want to share why I'm speaking about this specifically tonight. Over the last few days, over the last couple weeks, I've found myself more than ever thinking about what is Ratzon Hashem. And using these words when talking to individuals with different shilas and different questions during these very, very difficult days. And our avodah is to live up to Ratzon Hashem, whatever that Ratzon Hashem is. So Ratzon Hashem right now is that I don't go to shul and I make the most out of my Shabbos Kodesh in my own home, with davening, without laning, but with my beautiful family and my beautiful sitter, my beautiful chumash. That's Ratzon Hashem. So I'm going to be upset, I'm going to be sad. We have to daven and yearn to be back because we want to be with Klal Yisrael and have tefillah b'tzibur. But I'm going to make the most of it, recognizing this is Ratzon Hashem. And that's my avodah. All my purpose is just to do whatever Hashem wants. This is what Hashem wants for me right now. There's a famous story. I shared it last week in a men's share. Maybe some of you listened, but I want to repeat it because I think it encompasses this yesod in the deepest of ways. There are two holy brothers. The Noam Elimelech, Rav Elimelech of Lijansk, and the Heiliger of Zusha. Noam Elimelech's Yartzeit was last week, Chaf Aleph Adar. And the two brothers were thrown in jail. All the time, the Umas Ha'olam, the non-Jews, they were throwing them in jail for no reasons. And they're in jail. And one day, they're in the jail cell together. And the Noam Elimelech, the Rav Zusha sees his brother, Noam Elimelech, sitting on the bench with his hands mamish down and his knees crying, tears streaming down his face. And he says, "Why are you crying, my holy brother? Why are you crying?" Rav Melech looks, pointed in the corner. What was in the corner? In the corner was a big bucket, which was where they would go to the bathroom. And at this point, it was already smelling terribly. And he said, "Because of that, we can't daven mincha anymore. We're not allowed to daven anymore. The smell was so bad. Allah, you can't daven in a room like this." He was crying that he couldn't daven. He was so sad that he couldn't daven. Rav Zusha looked at him. Rav Zusha said, "My brother, the same Rabbeinu Shel Olam that told us and commanded us and Ratzon is generally to daven. It's the same Rabbeinu Shel Olam that put us in this predicament and told us now you can't daven. And now you're not allowed to daven. That's also Ratzon Hashem. Our avodah is to do whatever Hashem wants. This is what Hashem wants now." And the two of them, they got up, they started dancing, besimcha, to fulfill Ratzon Hashem, to not daven. That's Ratzon Hashem now. The guards, they saw these two brothers dancing around the bucket. And they mamish were floored. What's going on? What are these Jews doing? And one of them says, "Well, they're dancing because they're happy about the bucket. They didn't know why. It's so strange." So they take the bucket out of the room. They didn't want them to be happy. Now that the bucket was out of the room and the smell was gone, now they could daven mincha. Because they were besimcha, accepting whatever Ratzon Hashem was, now they're able to daven mincha, Baruch Hashem. Our avodah these days is to do Ratzon Hashem. Ratzon Hashem might not be to go to shul, it might not be to go to live shirim. So Ratzon Hashem is that we should be together on Zoom. And yes, it's not the same without the personal interaction. But you know what? More people now maybe have an easier time joining. And maybe now it's easier to, from the comfort of your own home, learning Torah, so we'll be mechazik ourselves. And Ratzon Hashem is still to daven. And Ratzon Hashem is to be besimcha in the situation we're in. And Ratzon Hashem might be that we can't go to see our grandparents and hug our grandparents. But it doesn't mean we can't call them daily. Ratzon Hashem is to be calling them daily. Maybe even meet them out. Yesterday I went with my children, my grandmother. She should live and be well. Tremendous tzaddikas. She lives in Bell Harbor. It's about 20 minutes away. We drove and we spoke to her through the window. That's what we did. We spoke to her through the window. And it was beautiful. Maybe that's what we have to find the ways. That's Ratzon Hashem. So Ratzon Hashem now is that a simcha should only be 10 people or less. Ratzon Hashem have a Talmud who's going to have to name his baby girl by himself. But that's Ratzon Hashem. And we have to be besimcha and realize, Asei Ratzon Cha Ratzono, as the Mishnah of Avos in the second parak says. We're learning some of us Pirkei Avos together these days. We just finished the first parak today in the second parak, Mishnah Dalet. So Asei Ratzon Cha Ratzono, make your will his will. To do Ratzon Hashem. That's the fulfillment of the purpose of the world. So that has to be my fulfillment and my purpose. And these days specifically, with everything we're going through, my avoid is to think, how could I do Ratzon Hashem? And be besimcha with whatever Ratzon Hashem is. To be besimcha with whatever Hashem wants me to do. And that's the biggest avod in the world, is to fulfill that Ratzon. Be mekayim that Ratzon. And we fulfill the purpose of creation. That's what really the Gemara is telling us. But let's get back to that Gemara. Because I have a question on the Gemara. Most Mefarshim understand the Gemara that the opinion that the world was created either Aleph Tishrei Rosh Hashanah or Aleph Nisan. How was the fulfillment in Aleph Nisan? I would have thought if it's Nisan, the fulfillment would be when? Tesvav Nisan, which is in 2 weeks. The Yontav of Pesach, when we left Mitzrayim, when we became a nation. What happened on Aleph Nisan that fulfilled the purpose of the world? You know what happened on Aleph Nisan? We said it already. There was Hakamas HaMishkan. It's when we started using the Mishkan. When we built the Mishkan with all of our donations, and we built it and we brought Hashem into this world. Why is that more chashiv than even a Pesach when we became a nation? Why is that the fulfillment, the fruition of this world? Why is it Aleph Nisan and not Tezvav Nisan? Why is it Aleph Nisan that on that day, the Gemara Megillah, Dav Yudah Mebeis says that the Simcha Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that day, the joy when we built the Mishkan and brought the Shekhinah down, Ki Yom Shenivru Bo Shemayim Va'aretz. Like the day the world was created, because it's the fulfillment of the creation of the world. But why more than Pesach? Why more than leaving Mitzrayim? So I'll tell you what I want to suggest. Alpi Kabbalah, there are two ways to have a spiritual uplifting. One is called Isrusa de Le'el, and one is called Isrusa de Tata. Isrusa de Le'el is when it's completely a spiritual feeling and emotion, completely Le'ela, from above. We didn't do anything to earn it. We didn't do anything to accomplish. We didn't do anything to accomplish on any level. Sorry, I'm just muting because someone muted. Okay. We didn't do anything on any level to accomplish. It's completely from Hashem. Isrusul Tata is through our hard work, through our davening, through our learning, through our chesed. We experience a spiritual uplifting. We earn that relationship with Hashem. That's Isrusul Tata. So you have Isrusul Del'el, completely from Hashem. Isrusul Tata, which is from us. Pesach, as very famously, we were on the 49th level of Tumah. The Jews in Mitzrayim were the lowest of low. Halalu of the Avodah Zarah, v'halalu of the Avodah Zarah. The Egyptians were serving idols, we were serving idols. We were walking like the Egyptians. It's scary, because many Jews today is the same way. The majority of Jews in the world are no different than the secular Umas HaOlam, secular nations. And that's what was then. We're on the 49th level of Tumah. We didn't earn or deserve the Gula. It was completely from Hashem, a gift from above. Isrusa de la'el. We needed it, otherwise we'd fall too low. And then we worked on ourselves, and we grew afterwards during the 49 days of Sefirah to become fit to receive the Torah. But at first it was fully from Hashem. Hakamas HaMishkan was after we did fall by Chet Egel. We built the Mishkan. We put in the effort. We put in the work. We earned or re-earned that relationship with Hashem. It was our avoda. That's so much more chashiv to Hashem. When we do to earn that relationship, that's when the fulfillment of the purpose of the world came to fruition. That's the ultimate creation of the world. So it wasn't just Pesach. Pesach wasn't as special as the creation of the Mishkan of the usage of the Mishkan. And therefore we have to look into ourselves and ask ourselves, not only in potential are we fulfilling our purpose, but are we actually fulfilling our purpose? Are we doing, are we working? Are we davening properly? Are we learning as much as we can? Are we doing as much chesed as we can? Especially these days, look what's going on. Look at the world. It's up to us to change what's going on in the world. Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim V'Lajner tells us that everything that happens in the world is because of us. We control it through our amaisim. So we have to do tshuva. We have to bring to fruition Ratzon Hashem and actualize it. Pazuk says, Adam la'amol yulad. Adam la'amol yulad means we were all created la'amol. La'amol means to... Adam la'amol yulad. Are we working hard? Are we putting in effort? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? The question we all have to ask ourselves. Adam la'amol yulad. Are we bringing to fruition? Are we bringing to fruition our purpose? And the way to do that is not just to be here and to get through the day, but to make the most of the day. In my learning, in my davening, in my chesed, at the end of the day, I do a cheshbon and nefesh. I do introspection. What did I accomplish today? What have I done today? Have I made the most of that day? It's an avodah each and every one of us needs to ask ourselves. And that's the ultimate purpose of creation. I want to read you a story that I reread recently. You know, there was a book that came out recently. I didn't read this book yet, but I'm sure it's phenomenal because she was such a phenomenal tzaddikess who changed the world. Rebbetzin Esther Youngreis was a tzaddikess who literally changed the world. She brought thousands of people to closer to Hashem. Thousands and thousands. They recently came out with a biography about her. I haven't read the book, but I suggest you all get it. It can't not be incredible because she was so incredible. I've read many of her books that she wrote that changed my life. Incredible books, incredible works, incredible woman. What one person could accomplish in this world. But where did it all begin? So I'm going to read you from, this is actually from a book I've told you about that everybody should read called Holy Brother, Stories about Reb Shlomo Karabach. So listen to this. When I saw this book on Rebbetzin Youngreis, and I bought one for my wife, I bought one for my grandmother. So it reminded me of this story. And I think it's everything we're speaking about tonight. Everyone in the Jewish world is familiar with the fine work of Hineni. Hineni is Esther Youngreis's organization, her outreach, her Kiruv organization that makarev thousands and thousands of people. Very few people ever know that it was really Shlomo Karabach who was responsible for its birth. That was Esther Youngreis speaking. In 1972, I was invited to address the National Convention of the Young Israel Intercollegiates, which was being held over Labor Day weekend at the Pine View Hotel in the Catskills. My topic was assimilation and what I viewed as the current spiritual holocaust of Jews in America. So what are you doing about it? I challenged the hundreds of Young Israel delegates attending my talk. If I had an organization such as yours, with energy, financial resources, and membership, there's no limit to what I would do. At that point, a young woman in the audience raised her hand and threw the ball back into my court. Well, what exactly would you have us do? She wanted to know. My mind raced. I'd often despaired about the way Madison Square Garden was at the time being used by the Israel Bonds for lavish galas featuring Hollywood entertainment. But what did all these galas achieve? I'd wondered time after time. Nothing spiritual, nothing meaningful, nothing that would really have an enduring effect on the Jewish people for generations to come. So when the young women asked me what I would recommend the organization do to combat assimilation, I impulsively answered, how about a rally for neshamas at Madison Square Garden? A mass spiritual gathering where you teach people what it means to be a Jew. A silence fell over the room as everyone pondered my idea. Sort of like what Billy Graham does, someone suggested. Yes, a Jewish answer to Billy Graham. At the conclusion of my talk, everyone left the room discussing my idea, which was viewed as exciting, dramatic, and thoroughly unrealistic. Matzei Shabbos, Shlomo Karabach came up to the Pine View from Manhattan to give a concert. Someone must have told him about my idea, because after singing a couple of songs, he suddenly started strumming his guitar, making up a new niggin with the words, the Heiliger Rebbetzin is going to Madison Square Garden and change the Jewish world. Shlomo had rushed over to him, embarrassed, please stop that immediately. Shlomo ever seemed not to have heard my pleas, because once again he picked up his guitar and instantly strummed, the Heiliger Rebbetzin is going to Madison Square Garden and going to change the Jewish world. Shlomo, please, I begged him again. You're making fun of me. Chas v'shalom, he said. I'm not teasing you. You will do it. That night, I invited Shlomo to my son's bar mitzvah, which was being held the following day, and he warmly accepted. The bar mitzvah, we asked him to honor us with a few songs, and to our guest delight, he performed a concert. I was in the middle of congratulating myself for having thought of such a wonderful idea, when to my mortification, I heard him once again singing the niggin. The Heiliger Rebbetzin going to go to Madison Square Garden and change the Jewish world. He then told the guests, who were unaware of what had transpired over the weekend at the Pine View Hotel, about my idea, endorsing it heartily. People were staring at me as we talked, some with raised eyebrows, others with approving glances. And I thought I would die of shame. When he finally left the stage, I was much relieved. Thank God, that's over, I thought. Little did I know. Towards the end of the evening, when dessert had been served and people were slowly beginning to gather their things and look at the door, I saw Shlomo, unsolicited this time, striding up to the stage, seizing the microphone. And he screams, listen to me, my sweetest friends. Let me tell you something very deep, so please, please open your hearts. If we don't do this now, we'll never get done. After the bar mitzvah, everybody should go directly to the Rebbetzin's house and start planning the Madison Square Garden event immediately. I was horrified. I looked at my husband and whispered nervously, do you think anyone will show? Nah, don't be silly. Returned home for the bar mitzvah, happy but exhausted. Gratefully, I threw off my shoes and sank into the couch. Suddenly, the doorbell rang. My husband and I exchanged startled looks. Who could it be? I opened the door. I was stunned to discover one of the bar mitzvah guests standing on the threshold. Hi, she said cheerfully. I've come to help plan the garden event. How could I tell her Madison Square Garden was only a pipe dream, a fantasy, a figment of an overactive and yearning imagination? I didn't know what I would say to Shlomo the next time we met, but surely I would come close to wringing his neck. I couldn't believe he had done this to me. I ushered her into my home as I struggled to tell her the truth. I didn't have the time, however, because the doorbell rang again and again and again. The bell, in fact, didn't stop ringing all night. My house was soon overflowing with people, galvanized by Shlomo Karbach's bar mitzvah behest. That time I had no money, no organization, no membership, no nothing. Just an idea that had popped into my head. But what could I do? Everyone who came to my house that night was so excited and sincere. I had no choice. I was literally forced by their presence to concretize my dream. That night, Hineni was born. Barbara Janov, the woman who was to become my executive director for the next 25 years, were among those who came that night. And the following week, she and I, with great trepidation, signed a contract with Madison Square Garden. As many people still remember this day, the Hineni rally at the Garden was an unparalleled success. We packed the Garden with standing room only crowds, captured the media's attention, and were carried on every major television radio station in New York. But more important than the publicity was the tangible effect we had on humans' lives. We turned thousands of alienated Jews onto Judaism and began a worldwide movement of return. Today, Hineni's international outreach organization, responsible for returning thousands of Jews to their heritage. We have a national television program that airs on dozens of stations throughout the United States. Hineni Heritage Center, New York, that features ongoing classes in Judaism. A newsletter and the deep satisfaction of knowing we have changed lives. And who really is responsible for all this? Why, Shlomo Karbach, of course. You know what I take from a story like this? Here was an idea, a thought, a desire. So many of us have these desires and these thoughts and these wants. We want to dive in with Kavana daily. We want to do Chesed more often. We want to finish Svarim. We want to be nice to our family, to our parents, and have proper Kivut Aveim. We want. It's time to actually do. And do Ratzon Hashem. And take the want and turn it into action. The Rebbetzin needed the chizik of Reb Shlomo Karbach. And through the chizik of Reb Shlomo Karbach, she's changed the world. We have the chizik of the coronavirus. And yes, it's difficult. And there are people that are very sick that we have to daven for, and people losing money. And what's our avoda? What's our tikkun? Our tikkun is to take the chizik and change our lives. Our tikkun is to take the chizik and bring to fruition purpose to the world and purpose to our lives. That this wasn't for naught. And I'm going to be able to be Mekayim, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. And not just have a world where I was physically created, but a world where I accomplished my purpose by serving Hashem, by doing Ratzon Hashem. Not all of us could be leaders of organizations, but could we be even leaders of ourselves? Could we accomplish what I could accomplish in my life? Could I do my purpose? Could I live my purpose, which is ultimately to do Ratzon Hashem, whatever that Ratzon Hashem is? And for each and every one of us, it's different. And each time in history, it's different. Each day, it's different. And I have to work with the moment, whatever Hashem puts me in, and do the best I can. And hopefully in that tzchus will be zoicha, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that it's when Klal Yisrael stepped up and did their part and brought the Mishkan into the world, that He looked at that as the ultimate fruition of the purpose of the world. So if we live up to our purpose, which is to fulfill Hashem's purpose, we'll again be zoicha in the house of Hashem and not with a Mishkan. Well, by a shlishi, with a third Beis HaMikdash, which will be built b'karov b'yameinu, b'mheira b'yameinu, b'karov mamish, and being all the geula and all the simcha to the world that each and every one of us is waiting for.